time to wake up. It's Saturday morning. Find some milk and cereal. Grab a bowl and spoon. No, a bigger spoon. Head to the living room and take a seat on the floor while Joseph and Chris present to you
Saturday Morning Cartoon!
Hello everybody and welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoon Boom! This is a show where we wake up in the Saturday morning sun, plop down on the floor with a big bowl of sugary cereal, and watch our favorite cartoons, both old and new. I'm Joseph.
And I'm Chris.
And this morning, for the third episode of our Octoonber celebration, we watched Welcome to Monster High.
That's not the song. I was trying to make it really metal.
There were so many songs that happened during this movie that I don't know which one was the intro, if there was an intro.
I don't remember, but there is a couple catchy pop songs, fancy numbers. It sounds like they got the Kesha's or the, what are some of those other famous starlets doing musics right now?
I don't know.
The Selena Gomez's and stuff. That's what it sounds like. That's what they got. They got those things going.
Either way, it's going to sound fantastic, I think is what you meant to say.
I see what you did.
So Welcome to Monster High aired in 2016. It was created initially by Garrett Sander. This one was directed by Ollie Reed and Stephen Donnelly, produced by Flaunt Productions and Mattel Creations. And this actually ran in theaters, I think, for a limited release on its initial run. For a short synopsis, when Dracula, well, that's wrong already, meets Frankie, they decide to create a school, but recruiting students always comes with its trials and tribulations. What it should have said is when Draculaura meets Frankie.
Yeah, it's Draculaura. Way to get it
wrong.
IMDb.
Get out of here. And that was the only IMDb description, too.
Lame.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and correct it.
They got that totally wrong. Oh, yeah, you're a member of that IMDb cult, right?
Yeah.
You can change things. IMDb.
I don't even know if I can change things. I don't know if I have that right yet.
Oh.
If I do, I'm going to correct it because we're in the know now.
Yes, we are in the know. We know it.
We know.
What do we know?
So, Chris, do you know who played in this movie?
Yes, I do. So first of all, Draculaura was voiced by Debbie Derryberry. That is, that's actually her name. She also played Skeeter in the show Hey Vern, It's Ernest. She was also Wednesday Addams from the Addams Family cartoon, Jimmy Neutron, Zatch Bell, Diana from Sailor Moon Crystal. So lots of cool characters there.
Nice.
Don't know what the heck a Zatch Bell is and don't want to know.
I've never watched the show, but I do remember seeing previews of it. And he's like some little dummy kid or something.
Yep. Let's never do that. The voice of Frankie Stein. You see, you get it.
Oh, I get it. I got it.
Frankie Stein.
I got it the first time.
It was voiced by Cassandra Morris, who has mainly done anime like Sailor Moon Super S, Mobile Suit Gundam Seed, and Mobile Suit Gundam Seed Destiny, Yu-Gi-Oh!, Sword Art Online, and Your Name.
Oh, who was she? Well, I guess I didn't watch the English version, so I wouldn't even know on Your Name.
Well, she was the friend. Sakaya, I think her name was.
Oh, okay. The friend. Yeah. Got it.
The friend. You know, the one that married the other friend.
Oh.
Later.
Oh, that friend. Got it.
That's funny, though, that I say that, and now you're like, oh, that friend. Yeah.
I know what you're talking about, strangely enough.
The voices of both Claudine Wolf and Cleo Denial, you get it? You got that.
Oh, I get it.
Was Sally Saffitori, who's done lots of video game franchises such as EverQuest 2, Saints Row 1 and 2, Fable 2, Dragon Age Origins, Prince of Persia, Gears of War, Resident Evil, Diablo, World of Warcraft, and Fallout 4. So she's in tons and tons and tons and tons and also tons.
Dang. Of video games. Sounds like it.
The voice of Laguna Blue was Larissa Gallagher, who is from the Firewatch game, another game called Agents of Mayhem, and Stan Lee's Comic Crusaders. I don't know what that is, but I kind of want to know now. The voice of Monica Decay was Christina Milija, and she is mainly known for voicing a few characters in League of Legends, such as Amumu, Annie, and Nunu. I don't know if I'm pronouncing any of those right because I don't play League of Legends. She also voices other characters in the Monster High universe, such as Wooly, Annie Abominable, and Vangelica Venbat.
Oh, that was her name. The big abominable snowman.
Then the voice of Tash/Ari was Jonquil Good. And she also voices a character in Ever After High called Apple White and another character in Monster High named Twyla. And I think that those are actually part of the same universe and crossover at some point.
Hmm.
Finally, the voice of Dracula was Michael Sorek, and he has been in cartoons such as Robotech, the Street Fighter II series as Dhalsim and Zangief. He was Ishikawa in Ghost in the Shell. He's also been in Power Rangers, Beetleborgs, Digimon, Naruto, and Bleach.
Nice. So for a few tasty marshmallows out of our big bowl of Monster High cereal, Welcome to Monster High is the 14th TV special and the first to take place in Generation 2 of Monster High, meaning this is a reboot technically. So we got on...
Oh, really?
Yeah, the start of what is G2. So we can initially... All the other movies and everything that came before this, we can essentially ignore because a lot of the origins and things have been changed. So, yeah, we hopped on the fresh boat.
So we watched the good one is what you're saying.
Yeah, basically, because the story is kind of a reimagining of the origins of Monster High in general, as well as some of the characters and how they first met. And it's very different from the story presented in the earlier webisodes. So, yeah, I didn't know anything about Monster High before, but now that I do, you know, it's after it's already been going for a long time. And luckily, everything's been changed, so none of it even matters anymore. So we pretty much know everything about Monster High.
I guess I didn't even really think that this had been going on for a long time, but I guess it really has, actually, because Monster High dolls have been out for quite a while.
Yeah, I think at least since 2010, these webisodes and stuff have been airing. Yeah, so this one came 6 years after, and it's kind of a reboot, so... Yeah, it's a good time to watch this one. I'm glad this was suggested to us.
So it's old enough to ride a bike and possibly be potty trained.
Apparently.
Unless it was like me. So
yeah, which was last year.
Right.
Who suggested this to us, by the way?
This was suggested to us by Ira Sutton.
I feel like we've heard that name before.
We have heard that name before. Ira has suggested several things for us. I think this is the second one that we've done by him. So thank you very much, Ira.
Yeah, thank you. Also, the score was composed by Daniel James, a.k.a. Hybrid 2, and produced by Klaus Badelt, who was also responsible for composing the score of Pirates of the Caribbean and co-created He's a Pirate with Hans Zimmer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's
pretty impressive.
Well, Pirates of the Caribbean's got some good music, so kudos.
There you go. Makes sense then.
Sir. Yeah. I didn't see any pirates in this, though, so I'm disappointed.
I bet there is some in this Monster High world.
Maybe.
But if they do, it's going to be a cute girl with a piratey name.
Oh my God, yes. Like Peggy Leg.
Oh my gosh. I hope she has a peg leg.
I just made one. Just made one right there.
We will take residuals from this. This is the second Monster High movie to get a release in movie theaters instead of direct to DVD, also known as direct to video. The first was 13 Wishes, which again is we can kind of ignore because this is a reboot of everything that came before it.
That's interesting. I would not have honestly thought that this was in theaters because I don't remember seeing anything about anything Monster High being in theaters. Then again, it's not like I was paying a whole lot of attention to Monster High up until now. So
yeah, we also didn't really know that My Little Pony Friendship is Magic had a movie that came out or that is actually out right now in theaters.
That much is true until we like walked to the theater and saw it and we're like, what the?
Yeah, but also the animation style used in this is the third animation style used in just Monster High stuff in general, but it's so polished and nice looking. Like, hopefully this is the one they stick with.
Oh, yeah. This was Pixar level good or better.
Yeah.
You know,
there was nothing that I would say like, oh, that looks cheap or that looks, you know, fakeish. Like, it all looked so fluid. Really good.
Oh, yeah. I 100% agree.
Do you have any memories of this whatsoever? Like before it was suggested to you, had you heard of it?
No, I just know about the dolls. And I thought that there might have been like a web cartoon that was more of like a web motion comic or something. I don't know how animated that was, but that's all I knew about.
Yeah, kind of the same here. Doll wise, my experience is that one of my nieces is super into it. So I've bought her some here and there. And it's cool because now that I had bought those, like, I'm like, oh yeah, when I see them in this movie, I'm like, oh man, that's the one I bought her. Now that I can tie it to an actual animation, it's pretty cool seeing that. But otherwise, I didn't know anything about it. I thought up until we tried to find this thing that this was a series that was going on and that we were going to watch episodes of it. I didn't know it was a movie until yesterday, I think.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was a movie until I actually sat down to watch it. And then you messaged me and said, hey, this is a movie and not a TV show. And I was very surprised. But I know that there is a TV show, I think.
There's the webisodes. There's not TV. Not a TV show. There's the direct-to-DVD or TV movies that came out, or specials, if you want to call them that.
Got it.
And then there's the webisodes that are a different, like, smaller thing.
Well, we've had another one suggested to us. I think it's called Monster High Electrified. So whatever that is, I mean, someday we'll get to that one too. I don't know if that's the webisodes or if that's a direct-to-DVD.
I think that's a
movie.
Special also.
Okay.
And it might have come after this one. So I don't know. Nice. We'll see. There's a lot to this that I am just completely unaware of.
Right. Me too.
But we learn as we go. So let's go ahead and jump into Welcome to Monster High, and let's see what our thoughts are on it.
Yeah.
Chris, initially, what are your thoughts?
Draculaura's voice sucks. That was...
Oh, you didn't like it?
No. Okay. At first, the voice was super annoying to me, and it was still annoying to me for about a good half hour. Then after that, I kind of just forgot that I was annoyed by it until, like, I reminded myself later with a note. So later towards the end, I was like, oh, yeah. I said that was annoying, and now it is. But I wasn't a huge fan of her voice, but that might be like my one and only possible complaint about this movie, honestly.
Strangely enough, yeah. Like, I came into this expecting to be completely bored and disappointed.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I've never seen any of the Bratz movies or specials or anything, but I assume they're terrible. And that's what I assumed this was going to be.
Same here.
However, I was pleasantly surprised. And Draculaura's voice did not annoy me. So I can't really point out much that did bother me. There are a couple things, but it's really nitpicking.
Yeah, I mean, your opinion's just incorrect. I mean, that's all there is.
Yeah, exactly. No, I know I'm wrong, but I'm going to say it anyway. So one thing that it didn't really bother me, but it was like, well, they're kind of playing fast and loose with it, where vampires in this, sunlight doesn't do anything to them. So essentially, it's amazing to be a vampire because there's absolutely no downside to it.
Well, it's like, how are they going to wear those cute little bathing suits and go tanning?
Yeah, like I get it that it makes sense in this universe, but it's weird to me to see that because aside from like stupid Twilight, like I can't think of any other vampire that doesn't just straight up die in sunlight. But, I mean, one thing they did do to, like, make up for them not being allergic to sunlight or whatever is saying, like, you know, you can't believe everything you see in the movies or something like that. And I was like, all right, fine. They're calling me out on it already. And then another thing is that, like, Claudine and I guess the rest of the werewolves, it seems like they can change on command. Like, it doesn't have to be a full moon or anything.
Yeah.
And then, like, even when they're out of wolf form, they have wolf ears and fur patches on, like, their knuckles and stuff.
Because they're adorable. Oh, my
God.
Well,
they are adorable, and that I appreciate.
There's not a character in this movie that isn't just freaking adorable.
Yeah, even the male
character. Except the lunch lady.
She's just awesome, though. Like, she's not adorable, but she's awesome.
Yeah, she's awesome. She's just real gross while she's awesome.
Oh, you know what, though? Like, Dracula, at first I was like, oh, what did they do to Dracula? But then I was like...
I love Dracula,
then I was like, man, like, Dracula is awesome. Like, he's so good in this. And I love the way he dressed. Like, I want to dress like Dracula.
He's the best, like... vampire dad I've ever seen.
Yes, he's amazing. And he's even got the glasses too, which is great.
Yeah, he's rocking. He's wearing like glasses and sweater vests and everything, man. Like the cardigans and with slacks.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you are like a grade A dad. You know, I want him to drive me to the park with my friends and suck our blood. Like that would be awesome.
Yeah. Hashtag dad goals.
Dad killer.
Something that was weird a little bit was Draculaura said that she was 1,600 years old.
Yes.
So that means that she's going to be basically in her, I don't know, 100 teenage years forever.
Yeah.
Because,
well, yeah, you know, they're like dog years.
I guess, but
you know?
I don't think so at all. But, but it's like, it's just a weird thing to me that when she's 1,700, she will essentially be the equivalent of 17, but that's after 100 more years has passed. So everyone else presumably will be long gone, except for the immortal ones, like I guess Frankie.
Yeah,
but
Frankie will be whatever age she is. She's not going to age.
Right.
She's dead.
Yeah, no, but well, I guess Cleo too.
Yeah, I assume most of them are not going to age.
Yeah, so they're just going to be in Monster High forever, which I guess is smart for the branding, but it's also like at some point, I think they'd want to graduate.
Nah.
Nah.
No, they're there forever because they're all BFFs now, Joseph.
Man, let's talk about some of the biffs, some of the BFFs.
Yeah, biffs. Can we discuss the biffs in order of appearance?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, cool. So the first biff is Frankie Stein, and she is just so adorable.
Okay.
I love Frankie.
Let's compare her to Elsa Frankentine.
Oh my God, there's no comparison.
No.
Frankie is just this beautiful, fun, spunky little smart teenager who can pull off her hand and wave it. And it's like, never has like dismemberment been so cute.
No, I was just going to say that. Yeah. I've never seen someone remove a limb and then been like, aw.
Yeah. And I've just been like, oh, seeing her rip her own hand off just melted my heart. And I appreciate that. So thank you, Monster High, for making me question what kind of person I am.
Also, she can conduct electricity as any good Frankenstein's monster can do.
Yes. And I also like, I mean, I don't like the trope that every friend group, like teenage friend group, has that one friend that's great at electronics and stuff. But I do like that it's Frankie because I think that makes the most sense.
Yeah, she's like the Donatello of the group.
Yeah, I mean, her being the quote-unquote daughter of a mad scientist, you would think some of that would rub off on her. So I like that. I like that idea.
And I think in this one, her dad was kind of scared off by the villagers or something. I can't remember what something she like said exactly, but basically there's no dad in the picture and she's been in this tower or castle or whatever building factory alone for however many years. And that's how she becomes friends with Draculaura, because she witnesses Draculaura and Dracula outside practicing her changing into a bat for the first time.
Oh yeah. Cause Draculaura is terrible at it and she keeps falling.
Yeah.
It's really funny. And she runs into a telephone pole at one point, like smacks right
into it. Oh, that's right. Yeah. And then she gets spotted. So Frankie comes to the door and starts knocking.
Yeah. And she's just like, hey, can I come in? And Draculaura just kind of invites her to stay there indefinitely.
Oh, yeah.
To Dracula's dismay. And I love the part because at first he's just like, no, we can't, you know, be introducing more people. We have to stay hidden. And the more people that know about us, you know, the more chances there are of humans finding out about us. But they both do this, the little pouty face. And I was just like, oh, double pouty face. I'm going to be in so much trouble if I'm a dad of girls, because I'm just going to give in left and right. Like, as soon as I see that pouty face, I'm like, all right, well, yep, I guess you can have the house and, you know, all the cars you want.
Yeah, it's those puppy dog eyes.
Literally, when we get to our next character that joins.
So let's go ahead and move on to her.
Claudine. Get it?
I do.
You get it.
And this is Claudeen. And I think her last name is literally Wolf. So Claudine Wolf.
Yeah, they kind of ran out of alliteration. They just kind of went for it there. And so they were like, we need to start a high school for monsters because we're bored. No, because they're lonely and they want more friends and they want to feel some kind of normal, because right now the only thing they have to measure themselves up to is humanity, which they stay away from because they are monsters and humanity would be scared of them. So they're just like, man, it sucks being so weird, you know, and not having anyone around to hang out with and understand and accept you. We need more monsters. So that's why they decided to start this monster high school. And so they go out looking for more monsters. They come across a unicorn mouse, which I love. I love the little unicorn mouse.
Oh, yeah. And you think they miss him at first, but then he makes a cameo later.
Yeah, yeah. They just kind of glaze over this one.
But, yeah.
Then they go into this, I don't know where it is, somewhere out in the woods. They see a big old wolf and there's a whole bunch of little wolves. Turns out big wolf is Claudine. And she's got like this little moon necklace.
Yeah, something interesting about these werewolves is they kind of back to sort of how werewolf origin story started, where they turn into actual wolves. Like, they don't turn into like anthropomorphic wolves. They just are people, well, kind of wolfish people that turn into actual wolves.
Right.
That was kind of a cool take on it.
And like, one perk for Dracula with this one is when Claudine and her brood join, so she's got like a litter of little brothers turn into tiny little pups, and they're adorable too. They're so much fun and they're always like, they're just so goofy and cute like puppies are. I want to say there's about like 8 to 10 of them.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I guess her mom comes with her. Yes. I guess that's her mom.
Yeah, I think so. Her name is Harriet Wolf.
Okay, and that's lame. So that's probably the mom.
I don't think they ever say it during the movie, but it's in the credits that way.
I don't think so either. But like Dracula and Harriet kind of hit it off like once the movie starts picking up and
oh, man.
They're spending a lot of time together. And I'm like, yeah, I get it, Dracula.
I know, I'm totally shipping that because that's so adorable. Yeah. I loved any scene that they were kind of awkwardly looking at each other.
Dracula Wolf. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were. I mean, Harriet really quickly, you could tell, had the hots for Dracula. And Dracula, I think, was just really shy and then didn't come around till later.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it's just so sweet. And then so when once Claudine shows up, Dracula was kind of trying to put the foot down again and like, no, we can't keep recruiting more people. And then they all three do the puppy dog eyes. And he's like, that's not going to work this time. So then Claudine changes into her wolf form and uses real puppy dog eyes. And I was like, oh, my God, like they won. They won that battle hard. That was dirty.
Dracula is a pushover in this for his daughter.
The way that they recruit the others, he gives them this little charm, which is pretty much the Monster High logo. It's like a skull with a ribbon looking thing as a pendant that can transport them to other monsters that they can recruit. And I just like this part because he makes them wear helmets and that made me laugh. Just the first time they show the three girls in their helmets, their faces, they just look so like sad and just like pouty wearing those helmets on their heads that like I actually laughed out loud at that.
Well, he's a very typical like overprotective dad just trying to make sure everybody's safe. And I thought that was cool, but it was also funny. Yeah.
Yeah. The next monster they recruit is Cleo. And what was your first impression of Cleo? Cause she didn't turn out the way I thought she would.
Yeah. I was thinking Cleo was going to be more mummified, but she ended up being like really almost a spitting image of Cleopatra. Just, I don't know, this attractive Egyptian girl, but she's super like high maintenance and spoiled also.
Yeah.
And she's like, the first thing she says when she's being recruited is, basically tries to get everybody to grab her bags, which are not even bags, like grab her treasure chest and the equivalent of her luggage and like help her take it to Monster High. I mean, she's been treated like a princess or a queen her whole life, basically. So,
yeah, what's interesting to me was that like when I first saw her too, I was like, wow, she's gorgeous. And then she's the way she talks. I was like, she's going to be the stuck up girl that is just rude to everybody. Well, that was completely wrong because she was just as nice to everyone else as the others were. So she just kind of like the way she talked was sort of that waspy kind of way, but she was just as good a friend as everyone else was. So I was surprised by that.
Yeah, her actions did kind of surprise me. And even when she was talking to some of the or that one guy who had a thing for her.
Oh, the Gorgon dude.
Yeah, like she's playing it cool, like whatever, but you know she's interested and like she's not rude at all, which is kind of what you're getting at. And I like that about her.
Yeah, she wasn't rude whatsoever, which really surprised me because that was just another assumption that I made based on the way those characters are usually represented. And I was completely wrong again.
Real quick on the teleport device, it's called the Mapalogue. And what they have to do to teleport to someone is they have to say Exto Monstrum and then the person's name. That's just a side note, but they have to do that like every time they're trying to teleport to someone. And that it really comes into play later on, but we'll talk about it then.
My question was, how did they know these monsters' names? Do you remember? Like, they might have said it. I just don't remember.
Is it like Cerebro where they can just kind of detect them and then it shows like a mini profile? Like, we don't see a lot of it. They just kind of know these monsters' names.
Yeah, I'm not sure how they pulled that off, but I don't know. That might be just like looking too deep into it.
Yeah, maybe.
So the last kind of main biff they recruit is Laguna, which I really liked Laguna and was also kind of disappointed that she seems to be the least developed character of this movie as far as the main group goes.
I could agree with that. And Laguna is obviously inspired by Creature from the Black Lagoon, but she is like a blue kind of aquatic girl. She's a surfer chick, like a blonde surfer chick with blue fish skin and all that. But She's Australian.
She was very extreme sports, like she's always surfing or skateboarding and stuff. And she has, I guess some of them kind of have their own special abilities. She's super fast.
Oh, yeah.
So she has like super speed.
The Flash, yeah.
Yeah, she's very fast like that. Cleo can like shoot like, I guess, paper, you know, like mummy wrap around things.
Yeah, it sounds less impressive when you say paper. Well, it's just bandages. I mean, she has like bandages around her legs, so maybe she's using those.
Just not a lot.
I don't know.
They're super stretchy. I mean, we've talked about some of the others. So Frankie can shoot lightning and electricity from herself. She can also rip her hands off, and her hands can kind of do their own things, like crawl around and do stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Claudine can turn into a wolf, obviously, and Draculaura can turn into a bat.
And as a bat, she has like sonar powers that she can use.
Oh, yeah. She has like that screeching noise.
The sonic scream,
she
yeah.
She can use. Yeah, yeah. She's a zoo bat, essentially.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, so, you know, if you're playing Pokemon Go, see if you can find a Draculaura out there. It's rare and worth catching.
Name your Zubat Draculaura.
Yeah, please do. I'm going to do that from now on.
Do it.
That's just cute.
The rest are kind of like tertiary characters. Like, they're important, yeah. But they're not part of the main ghoul squad. One thing to note about this also is it takes a lot of cues, not necessarily from Scooby-Doo and the Ghoul School, but just because it's so easy and it would be hard not to. They never really say girls or girl. They always say ghoul or ghouls. Draculaura, like I was mentioning earlier a little bit, she has her vampire slang that's like always says bat stuff, or everything's like bat this or bat that. And she always says fantastic, which I like.
Just
but it's
like
also,
Sabella.
Sabella, right.
Talks just like Sabella from Scooby-Doo and the Ghoul School.
Exactly. Some of the other side characters, there's Skelly, who is basically a living skeleton. I don't know what his little brother's name is, but he's kind of like a little punk skeleton who's got a...
Yeah, he's adorable, too.
Got a David Bowie lightning bolt on his eye. You've got Wraith, who's one of the guys, and he's really into Claudine. There's a lot of, like, what you would expect in a movie like... Not a lot, maybe, but there's a good amount of what you would expect in a movie like this... of relationships going on or possible relationships. But I like the way they played them out in this movie, because it's not super like, oh, instantly they fall in love with each other or whatever. It's super awkward and it feels more real that way.
Yeah, I agree. And like, I liked it too that Wraith was kind of clumsy.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't just, you know, it wasn't Claudine just fawning over him or him just fawning over her. It was like she kind of played hard to get a little bit, and he didn't really return the favor. He would just kind of say hi and stuff, but then he would be distracted and run into stuff.
Yeah, he did run into a lot of stuff.
Which is funny. Yeah, I like that.
And she wasn't good at taking social cues from him when he was trying to compliment her. So she's like taking offense to some of the things he said, even though he meant it in a good way. So yeah, there's that awkwardness, and like they're both kind of learning how to crush on each other properly, which was kind of cool. And I liked that. And it's not like everybody had a match that they had to go with or something, which was also good. It was used very sparingly, and I appreciated that.
There's also a side character named Gob.
Oh, Gob.
Which is fun. He is basically like it's like a miniature blob, and but he's green. And he's constantly eating snacks.
He's kind of like Slimer.
Snacks, yeah, he kind of eats them, but they just kind of float around in his body. Because I guess they don't like disintegrate very quickly. So he can still pull them out and hand them to people. They're just covered in slime. And he's not like a big character, but he does something semi-important later.
Right. On account of Monica, who
Monica, let's talk about her.
Yeah. She instantly, when they were going to her and I saw her, I was like, oh,
you're like, she's hot.
No, I was like, she's going to be the antagonist. Like, she just immediately seems like a bad chick.
Is it the glowing eyes, maybe?
It could be that, or just her attitude. And also, she's got that mini army of Zomboys.
The Zomboys. I love the Zomboys. They're hilarious.
They are. They're hilarious, but they're literally like mindless guys who follow her around.
They're all like, they all look like former high school jocks and things like that, like preps, and they're zombies. And like, I love when the girls first get to that, they go to this cemetery when they go to recruit Monica, And you see some of the zombies coming out, and like one of them, like they're bad at being zombies, which is fun. Like one of them kind of falls at one point, and he's like, "Oh!" Just in the background, like it wasn't like a real prevalent scene. And there's a lot of that. Like they're bad at being zombies because yeah. they're constantly breaking character, and like they're supposed to be the, you know, just walking kind of thing, but they're always like they end up doing something like goofy.
Yeah, they're also bad at being henchmen too, because
yes, extremely.
So Monica, she initially doesn't want to come to this school, to Monster High, and so she kind of fights everybody off, and then they leave her behind. But then she finds that it's going to be in her best interest to do that, but she has ulterior motives, obviously. And she's trying to basically take over the school so that ultimately she's kind of like Magneto, in the sense that if this is the Xavier school for X-Men or for gifted youngsters, then, you know, she would be trying to run the Brotherhood because she's very anti-human. And instead of trying to coexist with the humans, she wants to destroy them.
So there's kind of like a little bit of a tussle, just a tweeny bit of a tussle in the cemetery. And then the girls are just like, fine, we're just going to leave and we'll see you later. But Monica, because she's crazy zombie girl and super cute, is she kind of follows them back to the school with her zomboys, and at a distance kind of sees what's going on, is like, okay, well, maybe I can just kind of implode this whole thing and turn them against each other, which she tries to do. So in the meantime, what kind of is going on is that Frankie and Draculaura decide, hey, we should start a student body, like a student council kind of thing, and we should be the president. We're going to be co-presidents. So they decide to run for co-presidents, and Monica joins and is like, yeah, I'm going to join your stupid little school now, and I'm running against you. And just, she does everything she can to discredit those two.
Her platform is basically like, why are we up here hiding when we could be out there revealing ourselves? And basically, she's all about monster pride versus
right.
pride versus hide. And that's kind of where the internal struggle comes in with the school, where it's like a lot of students are like, yeah, like, why are we hiding? And then a lot are still on Draculaura's side. And it's tough for her to even, she and Frankie to even voice why, you know, they're not hiding. They're just kind of just delaying, or they're just waiting on the right moment to reveal themselves. And so it's hard to convince the student body of that when Monica has this instant, like, let's just go out and do our thing and own it.
Yeah, there's this big discrepancy, because the sentiment of Draculaura and her kind of group is that, you know, we would like to be able to live side by side with humans at some point. And Monica is all about, no, we shouldn't need to even worry about that. They should fear us. We should be running the world and not them, sort of thing. So she is a very Magneto-like character.
Yeah.
You know, except for if Magneto was a cute teenage girl that was undead, they would be a lot alike.
Yeah.
And one thing I did like here, though, is when they got there, or when Monica kind of first showed up with the zomboys and stuff like that, at first, like, everyone was all scared of the zomboys, and then she's having that conversation with them, and when she turns back around, the zomboys had just been completely doing normal things. Like, a few of them were drinking slushies, they were talking and laughing with each other and talking to some of the other students, and she gives them that, like, look, and then they all go back to, like, you know, doing the zombie walk where they're like,
yeah.
I thought that was really funny. Absolutely one of my favorite parts.
And let me point out one thing, too. So they've got this school built, and I think at this point they've also maybe built a coffee shop, but it's called a coffin shop. I like the little code names they have for everything, and one of their drinks is going to be the mummy mocha, which I was like, oh, I would totally at a coffee shop like this. I would absolutely do that.
Well, that's how they first got Cleo to join them, was they said something about a mummy mocha.
Oh, that's right.
She immediately was like, I need one.
Yeah. Also, like, their phones are these little coffins, and I'm like, where can I get one of these? Like, that would be amazing to have. I don't know if they exist in real life, but I would love to have one.
You know, a little pink coffin phone, I'd be all over it.
I don't care what color. It could be pink, it could be whatever, it doesn't matter. I just need a coffin phone. I need it now.
Yes, right now.
With a little Monster High symbol on it. Give it to me.
Give it. When is iPhone going to make a pink coffin phone?
Yeah.
An iCoffin.
Please, an iCoffin.
That's what I need.
That'd be amazing.
iCoffin. So And one thing that surprised me was, so it seemed like the students were going to kind of go Monica's way. So Draculaura is all depressed, goes to bed. When she wakes up, turns out that the students voted for her and Frankie instead. And I was like, oh, well, that was resolved quickly. What is the rest of this movie going to be about? Well, so then Monica is just like, oh, I lost, blah, blah, blah. I can still mess with them. So she convinces Gob, who has gotten in trouble because he keeps eating all the snacks, to go down to the human city and go to a convenience store and eat all their snacks. So he went down overnight and swallowed everything and left. And the humans are kind of reporting on it, trying to figure out what happened, seeing all this green slime left behind and stuff like that, knowing something bad happened. So the monster teenagers are kind of like, okay, one problem solved, but now we got this other one. What do we do to make the humans not hate us?
Yeah. And the humans are also threatening to follow the slime trail. That's going to lead them right back to Monster High, which is Dracula's worst fear, because he's been teaching classes specifically on why humans are scary. It's basically like, if this happens, then it's all for nothing and the school's going to be torn up and humans are going to destroy it and whatnot. So
exactly.
Yeah. So another thing that they really push in this movie, is, especially on Dracula and Frankie's side, is kindness and understanding. And that's something I always appreciate, of course.
You will.
And on Dracula's side, he tells Dracula for a different reason. I guess when they're in bat training, she's like, oh, it's impossible. And he says, it's not impossible. It's just challenging. And that's something that reoccurs a lot in this movie, is that specific statement. And it actually works like every time they use it.
So this part of the movie gets resolved quickly, too, because Gob goes back and basically just brings all the snacks back because they're still inside of them.
Mm-hmm.
So then the humans are kind of like, oh, never mind. We'll just clean up this slime. The next thing, and this was something that kind of happened a few times that we didn't touch on. There is this pop star named Tash.
Oh, yeah.
That Draculaura is super obsessed with, and all the other girls like too. And there was at one point in the movie that they tried to reveal themselves to Tash, and Tash freaked out and screamed. And I honestly felt really bad for Draculaura because that was her idol.
Yeah, but it turns out that Tash is a human, or a normie, as they call her.
Normie, yes. I resent that remark.
I felt bad for Draculaura also. You can see in her eyes just how crushed she is that she was treated that way by her idol.
And that goes like kudos to the animators, because just, man, those facial expressions just, whew. They nailed it, man.
They're spot on, yeah.
Yeah, they nailed that. Those feelings, like, hardcore.
The reason this happens is because Monica challenges Draculaura to go and get Tash to play at their dance. This is at a point before the election ends. She's like, I'll drop out of the election if you are able to do this. Because she, Draculaura at the time, is thinking that she's already lost, basically. So this is her last-ditch effort. Simultaneously, she's crushed by the fact that her idol has basically is scared of her and is what Dracula has been telling her humans are like, and also that Monica is going to be taking over the school as well. So it's just a double defeat there, and that's why she just goes straight to bed before she wakes up to find out she's won, like you said earlier.
Right. What Monica does now is she goes out, since she had lost the election stuff, she goes out and kidnaps Tash and is basically like, brings her in front of the whole school and is just like, I'm going to turn your precious Tash into one of us.
Basically, she's going to kill her and turn into a zombie.
Yes. And so, of course, that horrifies Draculaura and everybody else. And this surprised me. A big fight breaks out. I mean, an actual fight.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I didn't see that coming at all, nor did I expect it in any fashion.
No, but it was a cool fight, though. It was so well done. And everybody jumps in. Monica thought she had more support than she actually did, because she's got her Zomboy army with her as her fighters. And then everybody else is like,
right,
you know, we stand by Draculaura. And so it's her and her Zomboys versus the rest of the school, Lunch Lady included. And that's where she has some really cool parts. And she has this same, like, no emotion on her face, just look the whole time. But she's doing really cool things. Like, she's also the DJ at this dance, which is really funny.
Yeah. Oh, man. The Lunch Lady was cool there. Like, she's freaky looking, but she was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave her that. And so then, kind of like during this fight, oh, there was one cool thing where Draculaura and Monica themselves kind of went at it, and Draculaura was able to kind of knock her off the stage into a pile of chairs, and then they did the whole thing where, like, you just see the pile of chairs and Monica's hand bursts out of it like a zombie coming out of the ground sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, that's cool. I see what you guys were doing there. And I appreciated that.
Yeah, it's one of those fake endings where it's like, yay, you know, we're victorious. Everything's fine. Tash is okay. We're good to go.
And then Monica makes a last ditch effort to lunge at Tash and no one can stop her really. But Tash turns intangible and Monica goes through it. And turns out Tash was actually a monster the whole time. She's a ghost. Her name's Ari Huntington. Oh, man, that's cool. I like that. So then it's kind of like everything's hunky-dory. She's actually a ghost and now they can all be friends and biffifes and all that good stuff. She starts singing one of her crazy pop songs that was actually catchy and I didn't want to admit that, but I just did it.
It's not the end though, because you still see Monica like off in the distance, basically saying you haven't seen the last of me or that's not the last you'll hear from me or whatever. So it's the threat that she'll be back later. So she'll be a returning villain at some point. But right now, everything is happy, hunky-dory and all that. Also, another thing is, so they call the girls ghouls and they call the guys mansters. They don't do it often, but at the very end, they do say
mansters,
it.
Good God.
Yeah, that one was really corny, but I think that's what they said, or Draculaura said it at the end. But it's another thing, and this is how they close it out with, it's not impossible, just challenging. And also, at one point, Dracula shows the class, since he's one of the professors, he shows the class, when he's talking about humans, a cat video where the cat is in a burrito.
Oh, yeah.
And it's funny because he's like, they watch an incessant amount of these cat videos, and this cat is a burrito, but they have no intention of eating him. And also, at the very, very end of this movie, I don't know if you watched past the credits, but after the credits, there's literally a little video of the burrito cat, and it's like a maybe 30-second video of just burrito cats going across the screen.
Oh, I did. And it was glorious. Oh, there was also some pillow fights. There's several pillow fights. And I knew that that's what girls were doing during their sleepovers. I knew it.
Obviously. I mean, we see it in movies all the time. It's got to be true.
It always is true.
Well, Chris, looks like it's about time we pull our inner kids away from the cat burrito videos long enough to tell us whether they're pro Drac and Frankie or pro Monica when they review Welcome to Monster High.
Whoa, this cartoon was straight out of my dreams. Monsters and pretty girls? Wait, monsters are pretty girls. Oh my god. Which one will be my girlfriend? Maybe Draculaura, but no, her voice is kind of annoying. Laguna's pretty cool. Oh, so is Monica. But I think Frankie's it. She's just so shockingly cute, just like this cartoon. And I gave it 5 bowls of Monstar cereal out of 5.
I'm pretty sure I'll catch a lot of flack at school for this, since this is a show obviously geared towards girls. Plus, kids are cruel and judgmental. But I actually really like this movie. It does take a lot of liberties with your basic monster traits, like vampires not being killed by sunlight and werewolves transforming on command, but I was easily able to look past all that because it kind of made it work for their universe. The characters were fun, they were pretty, they were all very unique. Did I mention pretty? Not to mention the fact that I really appreciated the uplifting and encouraging messages that this movie reinforced, like owning and embracing your differences, as well as nothing being impossible. Overall, I'd give Welcome to Monster High 5 big bowls of Mummy Mocha cereal out of 5, and while it's definitely not for everybody, I am way outside of his target demographic and still found something to love, so you might too. But now I have to go and find a pretty ghoul friend of my own. I'm not saying she has to be a vampire, werewolf, or Frankenstein's monster, but she definitely can't be a normie.
If this had come out when I was a kid, I could definitely see myself having a crush on everybody in this show. Everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Even Glob.
I unfortunately agree. So, I mean, well, that said, do you have any final comments on this show?
Yeah, I mean, this was something I expected to be terrible, and I was terribly wrong about it because I think, especially for kids, it's a very uplifting show. Like, A, it's about monsters. And that always gets more points for me. But B, the message is just so strong that it didn't even have to be about monsters. And it still would have had a great impact. And I just think it's a positive message to send to children. And as a monster fan myself, I just appreciated all the little add-ins they had, even though they changed some things up here and there. Like, that didn't really matter in the end. I'm not saying that I'm going to go and collect the toys or anything, but I might go and start collecting the toys. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I don't think I have ever been this surprised or wrong about a show in my life. And I mean, you and I even had conversations about how bad we thought this was going to be and how much we were dreading doing this one.
Yeah.
On several occasions. So I can't believe how much I really enjoyed it. It was fun. It was quirky. All of the monsters represented as teenage girls were so well done that I can't really wrap my head around it. Not to mention, like we said, this was visually stunning. The character designs, the use of color and light were perfect and just so much fun and enjoyable with everything that you could see. So I can't really believe that I gave it 5 out of 5, but there it is. And I would definitely show this to any kids or fans of classic horror or monsters like any day. So this is definitely one that I encourage anyone, just go take a look at it, because if you have, I guess after listening to this, you kind of know our opinions of it. But if you're doubting us, I think you should go watch it for yourselves, because I think you're going to be surprised.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised you gave it a 5. Like, I gave it a 5 thinking I was going to lift up the score a little bit, but I'm happy you gave it a 5. I'm actually proud of you. I didn't think you would like it as much as you did.
It was very weird and unexpected, because I even I started watching it. My girlfriend was taking a nap and I was like, you want to watch this with me? She's like, I'm sleepy. I'm like, okay, you take a nap, I'll watch it. And she woke up later and she was like, how was it? I was like, I loved it. She's like, wait, are you serious?
Yeah.
She's like, you're not being sarcastic? I'm like, no, for once, I'm not being sarcastic.
I know. It was surprisingly good. And that I'm still surprised how much I like this.
I just want to go have a pillow fight with all of them. Squee!
Well, definitely thank you, Ira, for suggesting this. Otherwise, I know I never would have touched it.
Oh, absolutely not. So thank you so much.
Well, listeners, it looks like our milk supply is now run dry. So it's time for us to say goodbye. And next week, for the final week of our October celebration, we'll be watching
Vampire Hunter D, Bloodlust, suggested by Joseph.
And real quick, I just wanted to thank someone real quick. We got a message from William Young via Facebook, who sent us a message about our episode on Arthur, which was way back when, like about a year ago or so. He really enjoyed it, and he just kind of talked about how we definitely hit the high notes of a typical Arthur episode. So that was great praise coming from him, because he actually runs an Arthur episodic podcast called Elwood City Limits. So if you haven't checked that out before and you're an Arthur fan, please go check that out and subscribe to him and give him some support. Once again, thank you so much, William, for those kind comments. And we really appreciate hearing from you.
Yeah, thanks for the love, William. Well, once again, I'm Joseph.
And I'm Chris.
And we'll see you next Saturday.
Presented by NerdSloth,
a place for lazy nerds.
If you like what you heard, consider donating at patreon.com/nerdsloth so we can continue bringing you quality shows. Be sure to also leave us a review and share your favorite episodes and clips on social media. If you're looking for more content, visit us at nerdsloth.com.